Thank you for joining us for First United Methodist Church of North Hollywood's weekly podcast, presented by Dr. Joey McDonald.
I've been here long enough to celebrate the fact that we can have a Christmas pageant again. There were a few years where we didn't have enough little ones. And what we were reminded in Annabelle is everybody's a participant in worship. Everybody's here. She didn't have a speaking part, but she entertained us and showed us the love of God let loose in her. And I especially was touched when she discovered that she has a gift of percussion. And Henry was trying to aid to mute it a little bit, but she would not be silenced, for such is the love of a child. I'll tell you a story on myself that my mother delighted in telling on me into my 40s. And if she were still here with us, she would still tell it. I was about 3, and I was a mama's boy, and I always wanted to be in worship. I didn't like Sunday school. And I was sitting next to her, and there was a new person sitting next to her, a woman. And the sermon went a little too long for me, so I looked at my mother and said, "He said enough." Worship ended, and there at the door was the new woman standing next to the pastor, who was new. And my mother, embarrassed and flummoxed, the woman said, "Your son was right. He had said enough." We must not hinder children, especially when they're little, because they won't want to be here when they're 40 or 50. Pray with me. Gracious and loving God, here we are deep into Advent, and among the push and rush of the season, we forget the reason. And it is the work and wonder of Jesus, who teaches us yet that grace must be our final word, that hope must be not just lyric, but melody, that grace might abound. We are a people so quick to judge, even ourselves, and far too harshly. Is what we have enough? Is what we buy enough for those we love? How we've gotten this way is anybody's guess. But in this season especially, you remind us of the power of your love. Let loose first in an infant, then a man, and then a man who by conviction lived and died and lived again, because your love is so strong. Be with us, not just here and now, but let Christmas abound day unto day, moment unto moment, that we might be willing to not just unwrap the gift of love you've shown us, but embrace it and make it ours, and then especially share it with a world so hungry for love and hope. These are our prayers, O God. And now in the silence of our hearts, may we lift our most private needs before our God. And now may we lift our voices together, saying the prayer that Jesus taught the disciples, daring to say together, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
The holly and the ivy, when they are born full grown, over the trees that are in the wood, the holly bears the crown. All the rising of the sun and the running of the deer, the playing of the merry hawk, sweet singing of the choir. Bears a blossom as white as the lily flower, and reborn, sweet Jesus Christ, to be our sweet Savior. All the rising of the sun and the running of the deer, the playing of the merry hawk, sweet singing of the choir. The holly bears a berry as red as any plum, and Mary born, sweet Jesus Christ, to do poor sinners good. All the rising of the sun and the running of the deer, the playing of the merry hawk, sweet singing of the choir. The holly bears a prickle as sharp as any thorn, and Mary bore, sweet Jesus Christ, on Christmas Day in the morn. The holly bears a bark as bitter as any gall, and Mary born, sweet Jesus Christ, to redeem us all. All the rising of the sun and the running of the deer, the playing of the merry hawk, sweet singing of the choir. The holly and the ivy now both are full of grown, of all the trees that are in the wood, the holly bears the crown. All the rising of the sun and the running of the deer, the playing of the merry hawk, sweet singing of the choir.
Good morning. Let us hear from Isaiah. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto King Ahaz of Judah, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in depth or in the height above. But King Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And the prophet said, hear ye now, O house of David, it is a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary God as well? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a young woman shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken for both her kings.
Pray with me if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. Amen. This text from Isaiah foretells of a time when holiness will rule. The story foretells the birth narrative of Jesus. It was essential for the early church to use this Jewish testament to form their canon and understanding of how, in proof texting, the way and work and wonder of Jesus is proven. Well, in the text, Ahaz refused a sign. He refuses to test God. Some of us constantly seek signs or symbols with horoscopes, with psychic readings, palm readers, tarot cards, and life coaches. We are trying to figure life out. Yet at times we miss the point. Pay attention. Pay attention. pay attention. There's an old saw about a man in a flood. The flood reaches 3 feet, and he refuses to leave his home. A couple of guys in a rowboat come by and offer help, and the fellow says, no, God will take care of me here. Finally, a motorboat comes by, and he's now on the second floor, and they offer help, and he says, no, God will take care of me. God will save me. He finally winds up on the roof of the house and ultimately succumbs. He gets to heaven and says, God, why didn't you save me? And God says, well, I sent you 2 boats and a helicopter. What exactly were you looking for? We all want signs. Do you see signs? What causes you to wonder? I confess I don't always get it. Every now and then. A couple of months ago, there was an article in the Daily News about the fact that the moon would be the closest to the Earth it's been in many decades and would not be this close for many more years. And I happened to read it on the actual day. So I turned to Sue and said, let's go outside and look at the moon. And we went outside, and it was just glorious. It was really something. But, you know, we live in Los Angeles. We notice the cars and our neighbors' lawns, whether they mown them or not. But we don't look at the stars or the moon. That night we did. A big part of the power is sharing, now, isn't it? Just sharing. Now, it's true that some of us watch for disaster. I read an article in the Times the other day about some prediction of the sun burning out. Don't panic. It's like 3 billion years. It'll burn out. And I thought, well, I don't have to worry about that now. Do you check that off? That's one less thing I have to worry about. In 2012, an evangelist predicted that the world would end on May the 20th, his 4th incorrect prediction in his lifetime. Still, a lot of people got stirred up. I had a half dozen people come and say, what do you think about this? I said, I think the guy's a quack trying to raise money. Lo and behold, he was. But it takes us time to figure this out. So in this balance between looking for signs, good, bad, what is the value of looking for ugliness? Why not appreciate the ugly? Why not appreciate the lovely? Well, I confess that I'm not always practicing what I preach. The other day I was listening, I turned on the radio in my car, I was traveling somewhere, and I think it's 100.3. It's a classic rock station. But to my dismay, the classic station wasn't on. The Rams were stinking up the airwaves. I like the Rams. They were just horrible that day, and I could not bear the pain to my ears. So after discovering that indeed it was their station, I turned to another dial on my preset dial, and it was, I think, 105.2, which is a country station. And it was either Brad Paisley or Kenny Chesney singing, let Christmas come to everyone. And it just was touching and sweet and lovely and inclusive and powerful. I don't know that we can pull that off this year, but next year, God willing, in the creek don't rise, we're going to sing that, or somebody's going to share it with us. I'm reminded of this especially when I see the children and realize that Doug Ebach made this happen by wit and will, and then I hear Sean and LeBec sing, and they're giving of their free will to share this lovely stuff with us. Appreciate the lovely. Sue and I were walking back from lunch the other day, and she noted, isn't that interesting? And she meant the fellow in front of us, a big, burly guy, I mean, like twice my size in every way, was walking, and I thought, okay. And then I looked, and he, on the leash of this big guy, was a teacup chihuahua in a pink tutu. And I thought, dare I ask? And I thought better of it. I just appreciated the sweetness of that witness. The other day on the tree lot, I don't know where I've stolen this from somebody. I will ask a customer, just look for a tree until it speaks to you. And somebody approached me and said, can I get some help with a tree? And I said, did it speak to you? And he looked at me and said, not in words, but in my heart. But in my heart. And so it is. I know it's just a tree. And there's an issue I've also noted, that some people walk in and they can spend 25, 30 minutes looking for a tree. And others walk in, yeah, that's a tree. Put it on my car, put it in my trunk. So it's going to be different for each of us. But if we have some compassion and understanding, we can appreciate life. Kavita Dashwani writes for the LA Times, and in an article titled Making Compassion Job One, she profiles, and I hope, forgive me if I'm destroying this man's name, Radhanath Swami. He's a Hindu monk. He was born Richard Slavin to a Jewish family in Chicago. And in 1969, he left America to find his way in the world. He speaks to companies like Apple and Google and Starbucks on the importance of the art and action of compassion. One of the things that I find interesting, those were billion-dollar corporations, and this is a man who last wrote a check. He doesn't have a bank account, and he last wrote a check in 1969. And yet, you know, he's earning speaking engagement funds, but apparently it goes to the order of his Hindu monk group. Compassion. One of the things he talks about is that if things are going well at work, have a place that you can go in mind and spirit, in mind and heart, that when things are not going well, you can find that place that allows compassion and gives you peace and understanding. Think about that. Any of us who have been on this planet for more than 10 years know that day in and day out, life is not perfect. It's not easy. There are people who grind on us, grate on us, are mean to us. Why? Just because they can be. That's just how it is. But if we look at the sense of compassion, and this isn't just for a Hindu, this is who Jesus was and remains. Compassionate. He even talks about those who are mean to you. Love them. Pray for them. But we are a people who are born-again critics as much as born-again Christians. So unless you've been in a cave, you've heard that Bob Dylan won a Nobel Prize for Literature, the first award for a musician in history. He was not present for the award, and there's some discussion why he wouldn't do this. And one person suggested to me that he's really a private person. Though he's a public performer, he might be a little bit shy. I don't know whether that's true or not, but he wasn't present for the award, but he designated Patti Smith, a good composer, singer, songwriter, in her own right. And as part of the performance, or part of the acceptance, she sang one of his great signature tunes, Times They Are A-Changing. And in the performance, she flubbed. She either went out blank or something. She goofed it up. And there was, of course, a resounding criticism. She said, of course I know the song. I've been singing it for years. But she said, in the awe of the moment, nervousness overtook me. Now that's reasonable. Some people won't admit to that, but I can admit that there are times when nerves just send me off to another place. So in this season of expectations, in this season of stories told and retold, in the ebb and flow of this high and holy season, we might just flub a line here or there. However, our compassionate God calls us unto compassionate living with wonder and signs of hope and love. May it ever be so. Amen. We move now to a hymn. I love this hymn, and I'll tell you part of the reason I love this hymn is it makes me cry, because it makes me think about our God being a God of inclusion. 2095 in The Faith We Sing. May the love of God, the grace we know as Christ Jesus, and the work of the Spirit in heart and mind, luring and leading and loving us, be ours today. today and always. Amen.